Good morning. It is Friday, July the 19th, the 19th day of the 7th month in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Maybe you wonder why I put such emphasis on the date every day. It's because this is it. This is the one time in the history of the world that this particular day is going to happen. This is one of the numbered days of our lives. This is our shift. It is the 19th day of the 7th month of the 2024th year of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's so great, isn't it? It's today. And we want to wake up as many days as is possible in this life and be fit and ready and prepared for the reason we were made, which is to love God and to love ourselves and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be beacons, witnesses, agents of Jesus. Sowing seed today that one day in the future will become a great tree, bearing fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever you do prospers. Okay, I got to stop. We've got work to do this morning. It's Friday. So let's begin with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, The Power of the Cross. Completely vulnerable, perfectly protected, utterly invincible. Our text is Acts chapter 23, verses 31 to 35. Hear now the word of the Lord. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him, while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear your case when your accusers get here. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. It's been a momentous week in the Acts of the Apostles, also known as the Acts of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Let's begin by remembering the plot of the 40 zealots to ambush Paul. Number one, they conspired together to commit premeditated murder. Number two, they made a solemn oath, a hunger covenant of sorts, to see this crime through. Number three, they went to the leading officials, not of the state, but of their faith community, and recruited them into the conspiracy by urging them to misrepresent themselves, also known as lying, to the officials of the state government. And all of this to facilitate a trap to carry out this hit. I could be describing a jihadist roadside bombing plot to assassinate a military general with an improvised explosive device somewhere in Afghanistan. With a few tweaks, these facts could paint the picture of a gangster-styled mafia hit in Chicago. Heck, take out the religious dynamics, and it starts to look like the Jack Ruby takedown of Lee Harvey Oswald on live television. The problem is, I'm describing the state of affairs with the so-called people of God in first century Jerusalem. The bigger problem? These guys apparently had no idea that what they were doing was pure evil. It looks to me like everyone thought it was a good idea, except the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had another plot in mind. He always does. The Holy Spirit devised a conspiracy to deliver Paul from evil. To the naked eye, Paul appeared like a defeated man, beaten up, locked down, and in the custody of the imperial authorities of the Empire of Rome, with no way out. Nothing could have been further from the truth. When we see the scene through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, which is to say, when we see the unseen reality, the view is breathtaking. Paul has on the full armor of God. He's wearing the body armor and breastplate of the pure and undefiled righteous goodness of God. A belt of invincible truth holds it all in place. On his head, we see the helmet of salvation. On his feet, we see the gleaming power of peace. In his hand, he holds faith that appears as an impenetrable shield of protection. In his other hand, something akin to the lightsaber of a Jedi Knight is putting off a form of light so bright it can't be looked upon. It carries the blinding luminosity of a welding torch. Yes, it's the sword of the Spirit, the very Word of God. It gets better. I suspect if we could see what the Holy Spirit sees, we would behold legions of angels surrounding Paul. And look closer, and you see him, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, standing right next to Paul. Yes, to the naked eye, Paul is completely vulnerable. In the eyes of the Holy Spirit, Paul is perfectly protected and thereby totally invincible. Complete vulnerability, a stripping away of everything not ultimately real, until there's only the bare image bearer of God. Honestly, I think that's what it requires to really put on the full armor of God. Isn't that a picture of the cross? In the eyes of the watching world, Jesus, the Son of God, is completely vulnerable. In the eyes of heaven, Jesus, the Son of Man, is totally invincible. I think when the Lord said to Paul, "In your weakness, my strength is made perfect," this is what he was talking about. He means the same thing when he says this to you and me. That's the power of the cross. Completely vulnerable, perfectly protected, utterly invincible. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. So fill me with you until it is totally true. To that end, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness or my self-interestedness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts. Invite the Holy Spirit to give you the capacity of a holy imagination, to conceive of the bigger reality beyond the reality we perceive with our earthly eyes. We see a valley of dry bones. God sees an army. Fill in the blanks here with your present situation and scenarios. I see, and write down what you see, your circumstances, your situation. And then write, the Holy Spirit sees, and ask the Spirit to just catalyze your imagination, to imagine what he's seeing, and just trust what comes. Write that down. It's a great exercise and shifting the center of gravity from the circumstances surrounding us to the possibilities of God flowing out of heaven into our lives. It's easy to, we see, you know, I think back to the Elijah situation. He saw all the armies of the enemy, the servant did, and Elisha said, look again, look twice, and 1,000 chariots of fire surrounded the armies of the enemy. All right, here's a song we're going to sing today. It's called Be Still, My Soul, because sometimes in order to get beyond the anxiety of our circumstances, we just have to be still. It's number 346. We've got to lift our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength to him. 346. Be still, my soul. 346. We're going to sing all three verses as our prayer, as, you know, we're calling out to our own soul. We're declaring faith and we're praying all at the same time. That's what a great hymn can do. Speaking to ourselves, to those around us, unto the Lord. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last. Amen. I'm looking at my hymnal, and I have that we sang this here on the wake-up call on November the 22nd of 2022. On September the 13th of 2023, and now on July the 19th of 2024. These hymns, they the older they get, the younger and the newer they are. They never get old. That's why we keep singing them. What a hymn, "Be Still, My Soul." And I know a lot of you out there are in that place that Paul was in. You know, Paul, as we think about this story we've walked through this week, he was in complete captivity. He was locked down. He was in trouble. He was, the Jews were breathing fire, wanted to kill him. The Romans had him locked up. But you know what was happening the whole time? God was getting him where he wanted him. He was moving him from Jerusalem, ultimately to Rome. And that's how it works, right? What the enemy intends for evil, God will turn to good. And in the midst of that transition, that transformational transition, which is excruciating, it's hard pressed on every side. Right, but not crushed. It's perplexed, but not in despair. It's persecuted, but not abandoned. It's struck down, but not destroyed. Wow. That's where a lot of us are. And I'll just go to the end of that text, and I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, therefore, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is passing away, but what is unseen is eternal. That's pretty good, isn't it? Paul wrote that. I think he probably wrote it in his mind, was this whole ordeal that he went through. Jerusalem to Caesarea. I mean, he was just moving across the map, just like we do in our lives. So take heart, Christian. Our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them. It's Friday. Be ready to sow today. And you know, sowing can just be your countenance, the countenance of Jesus given to you by the Spirit, just shining on others. Christ will shine on you, and as he shines on you, he shines through you, and as he shines through you, he shines on them, and he's doing things beyond our comprehension. Just be ready for that. Be attuned and present to him, and so attuned and present to others. I'll see you on the field. Holy Spirit story tomorrow. It's going to be a powerful one. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.